Up next, listen to the future of the internet with WebTalk and hear the latest news and trends keeping those electronic circuits and broadband connections buzzing.
This week, tech journalist and blogger Mitch Radcliffe talks with Rob about the Supernova conference in San Jose recently. Also, Opera Browser's CEO Jan Van Tetschner will tell us about their new upgrade to the Opera browser.
Stay connected. WebTalk is coming up next.
WebTalk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com. WebTalk is also brought to you by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com. It turns your PC into a sophisticated web radio VCR. It's a great way to enjoy listening to the radio. Record your favorite music and radio shows and stations, and then listen anywhere and whenever you want on any device you want. Get the free trial download at replay-radio.com.
You're connected and streaming WebTalk at WebTalkRadio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee, and thank you for listening to us from around the world. We've been producing shows for over 5 years, and we do the best each week to get you plugged into the net and keep you up to date with some of the coolest internet-connected devices and software.
Well, hello, moon babies everywhere. We're so happy that you're listening to us once again on the World Wide Web.
We are joined once again by technology pundit and past co-host.
Like being at a high school dance.
Mitch Radcliffe, who's joining us on the other mic, actually in the studio this week. And he does a daily blog at Red Herring at redherring.com called The Now. Mitch has had an interesting last couple of weeks, and I've joined him on a trip down to San Jose. It's for the Supernova Conference.
That's right. Supernova Conference is the gathering of the big brains.
Big brains of the technology sector. There's some big names. Like, what friends did you see down there?
Well, Dave Ciffri from Technorati, Mark Cantor from Broadband Mechanics, Esther Dyson from Release 1.0.
Kevin Warbach,
yeah, and he was on the show just a week
Dan
or so
Farber
ago.
Dan Farber from CNET.
Yeah.
Bross Mayfield from Social Text.
And everybody had a laptop down there, didn't they, with the Wi-Fi connection?
Yes, in fact, if you go to these events, it sounds like rain with the sound of the typing going on all the time. And you can tell when something really good happens because suddenly the rain increases.
Oh, and sometimes you guys actually even listen to the speaker on the podium, right?
Well, constantly. In fact, everybody is blogging what the speaker is saying so that they can catch him in some sort of a lie.
That's what big brains do.
That's right.
Well, let's save some
of that
for...
Sit around and congratulate our brains for being big.
Well, you guys, I'm going to step in because we're going to talk more about Supernova in just a moment, but also on the show this week...
The U.S. government says to not use the IE browser until Microsoft fixes its major security holes.
Bad, Bill. Bad.
And Opera Browser CEO explains his browser's latest upgrade to 7.51.
Bad, Bill, bad.
And our high-speed wireless WiMAX future that is coming.
And Apple takes search past the Windows.
Study shows 99% of spam is sent from just 5 countries.
Bad, Russia, bad.
And of course, as we promised, discussion topics from the Supernova Tech Conference and our digital mailbag where we open up an email from London.
With this week's announcement that the U.S. government is recommending that we all not use the Microsoft Internet Explorer until Microsoft issues a patch for some serious security flaws, we all need a new browser alternative, and this ban on IE may spark renewed browser competition, and that's good news for all of us who live on the web. One of the best alternative browsers on the net is Opera Software's Opera 7.5 web browser at opera.com. Later in the show, Opera's CEO, Jan Van Tetschner, will tell us about all the new and innovative features of the Opera browser.
A goal for Opera is that it's fast, it should be small, and it should run on 10-year-old computers.
As promised, it's time for the weekly summary of the news and trends on the web this week, and Big Brother has stepped in to save us from our IE browser, you guys.
I thought Microsoft was Big Brother.
Oh, Big Brother too.
The U.S. CERT organization, which is the U.S. government's computer emergency readiness team, is warning web surfers to stop using the Microsoft Internet Explorer browser. We all need to use a different browser for a while. What do you think about that, Mitch?
Do you know where CERT is located? Right outside the gates of the National Security Agency.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they know what's going on then.
In fact, it was founded by the guy, Robert Morris, whose son, Robert Tappan Morris, I believe was his name, unleashed the internet worm in 1988.
Ladies and gentlemen, big brain in the room.
Yes.
He knows the internet trivia out there.
But anyway.
That's good.
Well, I think
they give advice about, you know, security, and I think it's kind of significant that they say Internet Explorer sucks.
Well, I also think that we should probably be real cautious about going to sites that maybe are questionable out there and just kind of slow down using the IE browser and go check out like a browser like Opera or whatever until Windows finally comes out with their new Service Pack 2, which will add a lot more security.
Well, you know, even this week there was a pop-up bug that was being disseminated that downloads code that watches your keystrokes so that you can capture banking information.
Mm-hmm. Jeepers.
And you just really need to be careful with IE. You have to turn off all of that kind of stuff even to, you know, safely begin to browse the net.
Now, isn't there a Service Pack?
There's a good reason for having a Macintosh.
Yeah, he's a Mac head. Isn't Service Pack 2 due out like in a week or any day?
Actually, I had heard it was supposed to come out this week. Or actually last week.
Coincidentally or not.
It'll be out sometime in a relative time-space continuum.
That's right. I'm sure that your computer system will get an update notice that this patch is available. The IE users are urged to disable their active scripting and their ActiveX controls on their browser so you can avoid some of those nasty bugs.
Turn everything off. I mean, literally, just look at the HTML and don't do anything else and don't let pop-ups happen.
Yeah.
Mitch, you're so smart. What does this mean?
Thank you very much.
What does WiMAX stand for? You want to give a try on that one?
WiMAX? WiMAX stands for Wicked...
Wicked speed
internet mangling access xylophone.
I love it. Worldwide interoperability for microwave access. But I kind of like your definition better.
So does that mean that we're all going to get cooked when we start putting up a lot of these things?
Well, it's going to be a lot easier to make popcorn.
Big microwave oven. That's what the Earth's
going to be. Well, WiMAX is broadband that is based on a grid technology that allows you to put access points every 30 miles or so, and it'll cover a broad area, and then everybody has a $300 transmitter that is able to interact with those local access points. It could be the beginning of a truly ubiquitous broadband future. Of course, it could just be cooking us, too.
That's right. We're all going to get cancer and die at a young age. But this is really a fantastic technology.
My brain feels sort of like popcorn already.
Mine does, too, sometimes. So I think I spend too much time
40.
Online.
I think it was turning 40.
Well, that's part of it as well. Now, I was a little bit surprised in this announcement that it's only showing about 15 megabytes per second transfer rates. Now, they must be looking at it on an average across a 30-mile distribution that maybe that signal dissipates.
Well, yeah, the other thing is it's going to be based on whatever connectivity to the net those access points has. So, that, you know, people are going to have to share whatever it is, and let's hope it's a T3 at every access point. Otherwise, it's going to be really slow.
Yeah, what a lot like a party line just like Comcast now, the cable
the actual
access.
Performance is going to be lower than 75 megabits, which is what is promised, because you've got trees, you've got all sorts of interference that could be causing all sorts of problems and having to resend packets. So the effective throughput is going to be much lower than they talk about. At the same time, it's going to be a heck of a lot faster than what we get today.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you're going to be able to get that kind of speed no matter where you are.
I think the coverage will be a lot like cellular, though. It'll be along, you know, major corridors and in major cities. It won't be anywhere you go. Although, if you look at the cost of putting one of these into a rural area, it's actually pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Broadband for the rural America, then.
One would think so. Craig McCaw just got into this business. The guy who started McCaw Cellular, which became AT&T Wireless, he bought a company about 3 weeks ago that makes WiMAX hardware and is going to be basically putting in service networks. And what the question in my mind is, we look at WiMAX, you know, becoming a standard, and now you can make hardware, and it's all supposedly going to work together, is whether or not people are just going to start building their own wireless networks and sharing that, or whether they're going to wait for somebody to say, and here's the service. And I would wager, just based on what we've seen with WiMAX, that you'll see some people just sort of, you know, start offering this stuff or find a way to, you know, maybe have your community or your neighborhood get together and buy broadband rather than having to buy it yourself.
Well, that and plus the cost on this equipment is going to have to come down quite a bit for people to afford it because it's still very expensive and it's larger technology
$300 $300 for the home to connect and you know, what will happen is you'll have your home connected by WiMAX and then you'll have Wi-Fi in the home that'll do the the local area network, and then the access points run anywhere from $30,000 to about $100,000 for these.
To put in an access point. Yeah,
to put in a 30-mile access point.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So, but if you think about how many homes are in 30 miles,
yeah,
it's not that hard.
And then you could all share the cost.
Right.
Well, as you said earlier, Rob, before we started, that Steve Jobs pulled a rabbit out of the hat at the developers conference last week. And what happened?
Well, he actually announced some really cool technology, the upgrade to the OS that he has to the Tiger OS and some of the...
Yes, we're going from Jaguar to Tiger.
The real strong features in this new OS is search. And it's really kind of, I think, beating Microsoft to the punch. I mean, Longhorn has been painted for a long time as the operating system that was going to integrate search technology much more than anything in the past. But Steve's pulled a rabbit out of his hat with this one and done it.
Yeah.
About a year earlier than Microsoft.
As usual, Microsoft is following the lead of other innovators, and in this case, the innovator in this business is Apple these days. And yet they're also stealing a lot of ideas from the rest of the world. What's coolest for me is the fact that the browser in Tiger is going to be completely RSS oriented, so that you're taking feeds constantly rather than just having to surf to different sites. You'll be getting this stuff in the background. And the other really cool thing, and this is something for anybody who's thinking about small organizations collaborating, is that the Apple server, the Tiger version of Apple server, will have a 10-session video conferencing capability built in. So if you want to have 10 people video conferencing at one time in a secure organizational way, you can do this with this $499 server, which also has a lot of other good stuff. And this is actually the first server upgrade that I'll do since I upgraded to System 10 server, because that's cool in and of itself.
Yeah, and size does matter when it comes to Apple with their big announcement of their 30-inch diagonal flat screen.
Oh, that thing rocks.
Was it 8? Was it 8 million pixels if you combine two of those together, because they got a dual DIV plug on the back or something like that?
That is so cool. Yeah. That just suddenly became the top thing on my list of gadgets I have to have.
It was only like $6,000 to get two of those flat panels.
Well, $7,000. It's $34.99 for one.
But it's very cool.
But
stuff.
That rocks.
I know. By side, too. Wouldn't that be just killer?
Well, and the big question is...
I already have 6 LCDs around me in my
office. You do?
Yeah, and also the big question is whether or not Apple's going to pick up some significant market share with some of these innovations. You don't think so?
No. Apple is Porsche. General Motors is Dell, and Microsoft is the guy who makes the engines for General Motors.
So just a few hardcore people, but they don't selling at that price. They don't really need.
Well, it's not even about hardcore. It's about it's about the same kind of person who buys a Porsche or a Maserati.
Okay.
I mean, it's you want the coolest system. I mean, that 30-inch monitor is not only cool because it's 30 inches, but because it's in an aluminum frame for the first time, and so it's much flatter than the ones that have been in plastic. There's just a lot of tetchy little details that for somebody, a nerd like me, cool. I can have an aluminum CPU and an aluminum LCD.
Is it possible that Apple could capture a lot more market share if they came out with a lower priced computer system?
Who cares? Why would Porsche want to capture more market share when it makes such a great margin on the cars it makes?
Well, actually, the automotive companies have come out with lower priced vehicles in the past.
They're a joke.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No, you're right. Yeah. They could. But the thing is that if they're always working the high end, their low end products, they don't make a low end product. What they do is they outmode the high end.
Yeah.
And that becomes their low end. And so that's where they're going to be selling stuff is, IMAX and things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, a study has come out showing that 99% of the spam is coming from just 5 countries around the world.
Is it America? Is America on that list?
Yes, they are.
But the other countries are, Mitch? What?
Well, there's China, South Korea, then, of course,
the United States.
Yeah. Russia, and...
Brazil.
It's your favorite Portuguese-speaking nation.
But 99%, that's just like... Everybody. Everything is coming out of those.
Ya gavariti peruski.
This was a study done by ComTouch. ComTouch has been on our show before, ComTouch.com. Mm-hmm. And they've analyzed hundreds of millions of unsolicited emails to come up with these figures.
And I'd just like to tell everyone out there who might be thinking of sending me spam that my penis feels fine.
Doesn't need to be enlarged?
I don't need any help.
Okay.
So you can just cross me off the list.
Mitch, actually, how many pieces of spam? Do you want to tell everybody how many pieces of spam you get a day?
About 800.
I know. It's awful.
Yeah, I think I'm at about probably 300 or 400. So you're
over the past year.
But I've had my email address for 12 years.
12? Like so. Pre-internet, it seems like that's possible.
So you're on every spam list that's ever been created.
Everyone out there.
Okay.
There are people in every country concerned about my penis.
Aren't you lucky? Well, I'm about to send you a spam.
You know,
I mean, everybody else is.
That and with my OxyContin addiction. And
let's get into the digital mailbag.
Okay, let's do it.
A listener in London, England wrote you, Rob. What did he say?
Hi, Rob. Ken Radio got me into you guys, and he looks forward to our show every week. Really enjoys the detail that we go into with our guests and tells us to keep up the great work. And he also asked us to invite him to Orkut. So we did that. And he considers himself the UK wireless guy. And he's from London. His first name is Grant. So we appreciate the email, Grant, and keep listening and enjoy Orkut.
Web Talk Radio is sponsored by our friends over at web.com. I think that's a great domain name, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, they can offer you domain names for as low as $4.95 and web hosting packages starting at $7.95 a month. A lot of people are using web.com. Go check them out.
We're also supported by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com, and they've got a great internet radio recording software package you can get, and it's really low cost, and go check it out. And they've got, I think, about 400 or 500 internet radio shows that you can record right into your PC and listen to on your MP3 player.
I use Replay Radio almost daily. InfoCreek.com also supports us. InfoCreek's a website design firm in Russia, and they do an excellent job. They're working on the WebTalk Guys' new site.
Да, очень хорошо. Спасибо.
They're actually in the Ukraine, but that's okay.
Ah!
Ukraine.
Yay!
Ukraine.
Очень хорошо.
Yes.
Up next, the guy you just heard from, Mitch, Rob, and I will discuss the very important hot tech trends that came out of the recent
Super. I'm not saying that conference. Isn't good to be in the Ukraine, by the way. I'm saying I didn't mean to say that it was good in Russian.
Well, it's actually a very beautiful place.
I would, yes. I would prefer to be in the Ukraine any day.
You admit to that, huh?
Absolutely. Since they're the sponsor.
Up next, our own friend Mitch will continue his big brain talk when he and Rob talk about the Supernova conference that was held recently in San Jose, California.
I think we know that this brain is getting smaller all the time.
You're listening to Web Talk Radio. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com.
Please, children, scooch closer. Don't make me tell you again about the scooching.
Welcome back to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com. And I'm Rob Greenlee, and joined by Dana Greenlee again. And Mitch Radcliffe is in here with us again.
Yeah. Web Talk Guys with Rob and Dana. Take it away, Rob. Take it away, Rob.
Mitch, for those of you who don't remember, because he was on every single week for years, is a tech journalist. He's written for CDNet, on24.com. He's a professional blogger, writes hundreds and hundreds of words a day for sites like redherring.com and ratcliffblog.com and correspondences.org. And he has three blogs going over at Innovation World. So,
I'd say he's a prolific web blogger.
I just bleed on the keyboard and it translates. It's a new input technology.
Just a little DNA into the computer direct.
It's utterly ludicrous that I even claim to do any of this shit.
Yeah. Well, what else do you
sorry.
Do in your spare time?
This is a broadcast
Mitch?
Program.
Your bosses might hear this.
What else do you do in your spare time?
I have no bosses.
Oh, right.
You don't?
I'm my own man.
Self-directed?
I am self-directed. I'm self-actualized, actually.
Decentralized, too?
And distributed.
Distributed.
Well, those are the buzzwords that came out of Supernova, so you guys, we want to know. We want to know everything that happened there.
Not what, quite everything.
Well, I think it was a real think tank of opinions and thought and kind of predictions for the future of some core concepts that I think are important out there, and that's the breakup and decentralization of computing to the perimeter, or the users out in the field are going to be empowered to do things anywhere and everywhere, and also the changes that's going to make in the workplace, I think, is some of the big themes that came out of that conference down in San Jose.
Yeah, I think we talked a lot about the technology of doing all that. I'm not sure we necessarily spoke much about what it really means to management and organizations, because
we kind of
tend to think of, you know, technology as doing this to us.
Well, yeah, and when the group of people that were down at the conference were very much into the technology piece and the nuts and bolts of how it actually works.
All of us hoping to make money.
Yeah, and what would you say was the major sub-theme that came out of that conference? I mean, the biggest thing that impacted you when you walked out the door after 2 days down there?
Well, I think the question that was still widely open to discussion was what the business models that support a distributed environment look like. I mean, not only how you organize a company, mm-hmm. but how you organize services so that they're accessible to companies of all sizes and that you can address these different sectors profitably.
As more and more people in big organizations work from home or they work from the road and all those kind of things, there's going to be major changes in how we function as human beings in the world and in the workplace. It's a good thing, too. It's going to empower us, I think, to hopefully live better lives and can do more things. We don't have to be cooped up in an office somewhere.
I don't know. What bothered me is there was a statement made during one of the sessions about distributed work or connected work is what the session was about.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, it was Dana Boyd, a blogger, who said, you old people basically can't even understand young people. And the generations won't even be able to talk. And I thought, mm-hmm. well, that's a really lousy thing to do, because the fact that generations can talk is how we make progress as a species.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain conceit about using the technology and being able to, you know, text quickly and do all these sorts of things that increase the flow of information, but doesn't necessarily increase the flow of wisdom. And that's what really kind of ate at me. In fact, I posted about this on Red Herring this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of the sessions down there talked about this, the changes that are coming to email. There was a big disagreement in that panel about whether or not email is going to maintain its prominence.
Yeah, they were going to replace it with RSS is basically the way they were saying this was going to work. And I think
smoking crack. Well, that and also the IM products out there and the IM solution that people are starting to use more. And one of the big arguments that came back was that teens are using IM more than they're using email. So it's mm-hmm. it could be a generational thing. But also those teens become adults and come into the workplace and are forced to use email too, because that's the solution that everybody uses at that level. But
well, yeah,
over time,
the argument though is that IM becomes a deliberative channel.
Mm-hmm.
Right now you use IM primarily to arrange and organize things like I'll be here at this time. But that's not necessarily how you make a decision in a company. Simple logistics is only the foundation of good deliberation. It's not the mm-hmm. It's not the basis for running a business. And that's what I don't think we've thought through very well. And at the same time, the fact that these kids are doing this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we shouldn't blow them off, but we should just also remind them they shouldn't blow us off. That's old codgers. Winston Churchill said that somebody who was not liberal when they were 20 had no heart, and who wasn't conservative at 40, I think it was, had no brain. And I think that's a little extreme, because I'm still liberal at 40. But what we're doing with the technology and what we're doing to distribute work, we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to be able to say, well, we control all these people out there, and we control all these people here, and we make them talk to one another when we want. But they're talking amongst themselves. They're a revolutionary force at the same time that's going to unseat us. I mean, it's all very confusing.
Well, and those teens become adults, and at least from my own experience, I have renewed respect for my elders as I got older too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that this is just a phase that those teens are going through, and it's hard to predict. I mean, email could disappear. I mean, if spam continues to be the problem that it is, teens will have a short tolerance for it, I think.
Well, you know, the other element of this generational thing that kept coming up during the conference, and it came up both as positive and negative, was that if you invest in technology that kids use in school, they'll eventually become users of the technology in the corporation and force that technology into the corporation. In fact,
do you believe that?
Jonathan Schwartz, the guy who just took over as president of Sun, said this. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking to myself, well, it didn't work for Apple. Why is it going to work for Sun?
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no evidence to support that idea, but apparently that's Sun's business now,
to
infiltrate the youth culture.
One of the big things that they kept Apple from succeeding with that is that, the Apple's at school, but it's not at home. Mm-hmm. And the parents and the workplace is using the Windows environment, so it didn't complete the transition, I think, and that was a big reason it wasn't successful.
Well, that Sun thinks that that's its future is troubling. Mm-hmm. At least from an investor's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they are missing the boat big time.
You guys, what was the atmosphere like at Supernova? I know you talk topics, but I mean, was it rowdy? Was it calm? Was it edifying? Was it, you know, out of control?
Well, I think that the biggest thing for me when I walked into the conference, I was like maybe an hour or so late because my plane got in a little bit later in the morning and the conference had already started. But I was shocked when I walked in because everybody in the room, in this conference room at the initial start of the conference, had a laptop up, sitting on their counter.
Yeah, they weren't looking at the front.
Yeah, nobody was watching. You know, I'm sure everybody was listening to the speaker, but nobody was watching. And I sat down next to a couple people at one of the tables, and I noticed that people in their laptops were trading instant messenger messages. And I glanced over at a couple of the screens, and I saw some familiar names of people that were actually in the room. So there was people sending instant messages across the room and talking about what the speaker was saying in instant messenger. But
there's a meta dialogue going on. Yeah. Many dialogues at one time about what the guy says, and that actually leads to better questions by the end of the session.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, you know, a lot of the laptops had video cameras pointed at the speaker too, so they were like recording the speaker through their, you know, computers, or they were sending it to somebody else.
Well, they were trying to send it to somebody, but, you know, that actually showed the weakness of the technology, how brittle the infrastructure was, because the wireless network in the room kept going down.
Yeah. Up and down. Yeah.
And so,
overuse?
Because, yeah, people were grabbing IP addresses and then not letting them go for anybody else. And
well, frankly, there was probably 150 people in there trying to connect to a Wi-Fi
through a
T1. Yeah, that probably didn't have that many connections capable. Yeah.
Oh, it was very frustrating for people in the room, and they commented on it quite a lot. But, it, you know, on the one hand, we were using this effectively to make it a better dialogue, and on the other hand, it was breaking constantly.
Which right there is a lesson, a bigger lesson.
Yeah.
We're building something that is catch as catch can. And while we are always striving to make it more reliable, it isn't, because we constantly push the limit of what it can do.
Well, and we're all multitasking too. I mean, that was a big thing that I really picked up from that, was how much our attention is spread across a wide spectrum. And the other big thing that came out of the conference too, when I saw, was the discussion over voice over IP and how that's going to change a huge industry. I mean, even drop revenues within the telecom industry from, what, $300 billion down to $30 billion.
Well, the great irony of the show, the event that makes it all this really underscores how silly some of this is the guy from Skype, the voice over IP company, called in on a plain old telephone
line. On a POTS line, yeah.
And that was ostensibly he was there talking about the miracle of VoIP and was not speaking using it. Your comment about splitting your attention, I actually think that's probably the only skill I have, is the ability to pay attention to like six things at once. And I don't, and that isn't necessarily a very marketable skill in most circumstances, but in this particular epoch.
Don't they call that ADD?
Well, I think they do.
It's attention deficit disorder.
And you can
disorder.
Be medicated in order to remove this, you know. So I mean, I suppose there's hope for me or that, or I'm doomed.
Well,
one way or the other. But
I mean, I'm in the same boat. I've got ADD too.
And so. I think there's we're passing through a period of time where the lack of attention, focus, is actually a strong point. And that may actually, if we train people to do that as a work style for the future, we actually may be screwing ourselves in advance as a society. And so that was the kind of conversations we had at Supernova.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, very deep conversation. And then the last session of the conference, they spent, 3 hours talking about how the conference communicated using wikis and blogs and those kind of things. And it sparked some heated discussion about whether or not these tools were useful at the conference. Is it good that a person pays attention to a laptop versus listening to a speaker that's up in front of the room?
I read a lot of email.
Well,
I IM'd with people. I talked with the people next to me. But, you know, the thing is that I did it in the context of this other information.
Mm-hmm.
And that was valuable. But being able to see it that way, rather than thinking in terms of, well, we've got this particular agenda we're trying to press here. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a guy speaking on the panel, particularly somebody like the guy from Sun who was, you know, spouting idiocy, it probably didn't work out too well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was getting torn apart. Even by the time he finished a sentence, people in the room were going, oh, what a jerk.
Mr.
He attacked Linux for Christ's sake as being too centralized.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody in the room went, what?
I mean, he had a hard time, and actually Mark Kantor actually mm-hmm. gave him a hard time. And it was justified, I think, that Java is having a hard time finding its way in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
So it was it's a fascinating event. And unfortunately, we spend way too much time in these events and not necessarily out there talking to people using the technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the discussion needs to happen. I mean,
absolutely. I'm not criticizing, the fact. It's just I wouldn't want to do it every week, though I often do.
What other trends did you see down there that came out of the conference that caught your interest?
Well, I think people are in a better mood. They're more optimistic about what's going to happen in the next few years than they have been over the past 3 years. They certainly were not drinking as heavily and talking more about real ideas instead of sitting around going, oh, someday when it's all, good again. There is a sense of renewed hope. There were interesting things. The autonomic computing talk by the guy from IBM, and I had a conversation with him separately. It was quite interesting. These are about self-healing computers, and the example he used was a ThinkPad that had an accelerometer in it so that if you pushed it suddenly or it began to fall, the accelerometer would realize that the thing was in motion and would park the hard drive in order to prevent the hard drive from damaging itself when it struck whatever it was going to – whatever would stop it.
So are we actually creating a thinking computer? Is that what we are here?
We're giving them a nervous system is what we're giving them.
Yeah.
And it's an autonomic nervous system in the same sense that we have one that mm-hmm. controls our breathing and the like while we don't pay attention to it. If these systems become more and more aware of their environment, at least to the degree that they're saying, that's hot. I have to pull back from it kind of reaction. That can help the system be a lot more reliable. But what they're moving towards slowly is a real nervous system that can make judgments about the situation. And, we're decades probably from our systems being nearly as intelligent as a dog,
mm-hmm.
although there are people who obviously think the other way.
Yeah.
But who really, a dog that actually, like this puppy that can recognize 200 different words and then go fetch the right object or recognize a new object in a room,
mm-hmm.
that kind of intelligence is being built slowly out of these autonomic systems that are going to mm-hmm. Know that a computer is moving or know that a computer is overheating or that traffic on a particular router needs to be redirected in order to better balance the load.
So is processor power a big player in that process, you think?
Well,
is it going to follow that path?
To the degree that you've got to be able to do a lot more in a short mm-hmm. period of time, mm-hmm. We're going to be constrained by heat and other heat dissipation problems and things like that, particularly when you get into embedded systems where you've got a computer in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want your house to catch fire because the thing's too damn hot.
Yeah.
But there are some really interesting nano lubricant technologies and the like that are going to be, that dissipate heat 10 times better than current heat dissipation technologies that will allow us to continue to build bigger, more powerful computers and put them into more and more compact spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've heard that, nano lubricant. You heard it here first, folks.
That's right.
I like that.
The other big theme that came out of the conference for me was syndication. And mm-hmm. that includes RSS, but I think it also includes some other concepts, but I think that the RSS and the Atom technologies is really driving some significant change to how people use the internet and the web. I know that there was a lot of folks at this conference that really don't use their web browser too much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything in their email program or they do it in their newsreader. And
yeah,
what changes do you think are we going to see in that? Are we going to see more integration, you think, of RSS?
Oh, we're going to see RSS everywhere. It's a great way to get information that appears on a consistent basis into systems somewhere else. else that need to know about that. So it could be your server logs and things like that. Dan Bricklin just announced a new product that generates RSS feeds out of almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
But those are just kind of, you know, what is the state of my system kind of functions. The more human-to-human communication, I think, requires that the newsreader start to have some of the capabilities of the browser. I mean, right now, it basically just moves text and mm-hmm. a few other kinds of payloads. But we need to be able to have, you know, Java functionality and ActiveX capability and other stuff that allows these news aggregator tools to begin to interact with other things on the desktop. Because right now, they're pretty much isolated. If you think about the way that, you know, programmatically, the newsreader doesn't know that Windows is out there or, mm-hmm. or Linux or whatever the OS is, and it can't do anything to access the system now. That's mm-hmm. good from a security standpoint, but it's bad from a how do you do better and better integration standpoint.
The big struggle right now is how much graphic display does RSS have within its technology, mm-hmm. the ability to transfer like audio files and video files, which it can do right now, and actually our new website's going to have that capability.
Yeah, but how you access and use it is the interesting question, and the NewsGator has a very cool home, the Media Center computer version that plays mm-hmm. video that, you know, automatically knows to take a video file and make it full screen.
Yeah.
But that's an example of building more intelligence about what to do with the payload into the news aggregator. It's not an example of RSS becoming more robust. And I think we're going to see both RSS pushing what the aggregator can do and yeah. the aggregator pulling RSS towards delivering more and more content over the next couple of years.
There's been a lot of discussion about how RSS is a push technology, but I've also heard a lot of people say that it isn't a push technology. It's more of an opt-in technology where a person selects to actually get a news feed. It isn't just delivered to them whether they want it or not. That's really the power of it, and it's going to actually, I think, ultimately replace the model of what we see right now of a browser.
It's also going to change the business model of delivering information.
Yeah.
It was definitely an interesting couple of days in San Jose.
Oh, it certainly was. Definitely. Well, Mitch, thanks for joining us on the show again.
Thank you.
Great to have you back in here again.
It's always a pleasure to be here with my friends.
So how can a listener
follow you out there in Radio Land,
follow
my friends.
What you're doing and your sites.
Check out ratcliffblog.com. Mm-hmm. Go to the Red Herring and read the Now. And if you are interested in aerospace, technology, or biotech, you can read the innovationworld.net blogs.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stay connected to Web Talk Radio. In a moment, we'll be talking with Jan von Techner. He's the CEO of Oslo, Norway-based Opera Software. We'll be talking about the new Opera browser upgrade.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Hey, radio lovers, you can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com.
Come on!
Welcome back to Web Talk at WebTalkRadio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and I've got Dana Greenlee in here on the other mic as well.
innovation and improvements in the Internet Explorer web browser have not happened for a few years now, and the U.S. government's actually recommending that we all not use the Microsoft IE browser until Microsoft issues a patch for the flaws. Well, we all need a browser alternative, and browser competition is good for all of us who live on the web.
One of the best browsers on the net is Oslo, Norway-based Opera Software's newly released Opera 7.51 at opera.com, and we have on the line Opera CEO Jan von Techner to tell us about all the new and innovative Opera features like page tabs, integrated RSS feeds, and integrated web directory, and much, much more. Jan, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back on. It's been about a year, I think, since you were last on the show.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
You guys just got voted by PC World as having the best web browser for the year 2004. Why don't you run through with us kind of why you guys won that award?
You'd have to ask them in general.
Sure. I'm just curious what your perspective is on why you guys won that award. I mean, that's got to be a really big thing for you guys.
It is a big thing. I think basically we've been working very hard to provide the best browser. We're always coming out with new things and new innovations. I think people appreciate that, and that's the reason for the award.
What is the real difference between the Opera browser and, let's say, the IE browser?
I think, if you look at IE, IE hasn't really changed very much during the last few years. Well, we have been working very hard to provide a better solution. Mm-hmm. And what we've been doing is focusing on the user experience. People are spending a tremendous amount of time on the Internet, and making that fast and easy is a focus for us at Opera. So if you look at some of the differences that we have, for instance, in Opera, you would normally be working with multiple windows. Opera, when you use Opera, you'll normally start with multiple windows and you'll browse in multiple windows. When you exit Opera, you exit with multiple windows, and when you start the next time again, you start wherever you the last time.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Things like that we've innovated, like fast forward and rewind, to give you a faster access to pages. For instance, you go to a Google search and you see the first search page and you want to go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Opera will guess the next page and it will assign it to the fast forward button. And by doing that, you browse faster through Google and a lot of other search engines. And then you have rewind, which basically takes you to the first page on a server and the last page before that. So it's a faster way to go back and forward. And it's just one of the many things that we do to make things easier.
Oh, I see. It skips the interim pages. It's not like you have to hit back, back, back. You just hit rewind and you're at the beginning. Okay. What, have you heard, Jan, any feedback from all the fanatical Opera users out there? What their favorite feature is of all the ones?
Well, people have their favorites. I think the multiple windows things that I mentioned before, that is a firm favorite. A lot of people also focus on speed. And speed is so many things. Speed is about being able to download pages fast, to see them fast. But it's also a question of operation, speed of operation, and we focus on this a lot. So this is about starting with multiple windows and exiting with multiple windows. This is about being fast when you go back and forth in history. This is about the speed of loading pages, but it's also about having things like keyboard shortcuts, mouse gestures, multiple ways to do things. And because we have multiple ways to do things, you'll find that people prefer different things, which is their preferred way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this makes the browser effective. Combining all this together, basically being flexible. People like the flexibility of Opera Office.
You guys are also really jam-packing all these really fantastic features. Like, you guys are supporting the RSS standard out there, so a person can actually subscribe to a news feed right in the browser itself. This 7.51 version that you guys have is really moving forward, it seems like, and adding a lot of characteristics that the IE and some of the other browsers out there just aren't even doing right now.
Yeah, RSS is one thing, and actually we are combining that in the mail client, and we've done some innovative things in the mail client as well, which, I think when people get accustomed to the way Opera does mail, and then with RSS, basically it's a question of finding things quickly. When I want to find a mail from you in Opera, I write your name, you may have changed mail addresses and things like that, so I search on your name, and I will, inside seconds, go through the 180,000 mails that I have, and it will list all mails with your name in it.
Oh, that's great.
That's very fast, too. And like you said, that's one of the hallmarks of Opera, is it's just faster, a faster browser.
It's faster. I mean, that's definitely a focus for us. And like you said, keeping the size down.
Yeah.
I mean, a goal for Opera is that it's fast, it should be small, and it should run on 10-year-old computers.
There you go. You guys are also offering a spam blocker and pop-up blocker that's built into the browser. It's not like a toolbar add-on like some of the other browsers out there.
These are features that people want to have inside the browser, and so we've added them, and they work very well.
Jan, I want to ask you about something in particular. We had a listener write in a few weeks ago, just thrilled to find the presentation software that you have in there, the Opera Show. Why don't you explain what that is for those that maybe don't know about it?
Well, what Opera Show is about is utilizing the power of the technologies that the web is built on. So we utilize CSS. And with CSS, you can define how you should present things in, should we say, full screen mode,
mm-hmm.
Or presentation mode. So what it does, it takes a page and it divides it into pages like for printing, but for the big screen. Mm-hmm. You can also change fonts and colors and a lot of other aspects. Basically, what you end up is a web page that's actually a presentation competes in many ways with PowerPoint.
Oh, that's great.
So that's actually built into the browser itself, or is that a service off your website?
That's built into the browser.
Wow, that's great. Oh. You guys are also doing what's called browser spoofing, which is a fascinating thing. And what would you explain to our listeners what that is? I guess it's something to do with viewing pages that aren't compatible.
Yeah, basically, it's something that you shouldn't have to do, but everyone is doing.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that. Is it because of some of the problems you've had with the folks at Microsoft over the years?
Yeah, I mean, basically, well, I can tell you a number of stories. But, but basically, the problem is that on a lot of sites, people tend to test which browser you're using. And if you don't get a match, you will be thrown out. Because of that, Opera by default identifies itself as IE.
Okay.
Which in turn actually identified itself as Netscape.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That way you're not excluded from any page or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1999, for instance, we had a problem where Microsoft was shipping servers.
Yeah.
And these servers, we weren't on their list. And basically, suddenly these servers wouldn't work with Opera.
Oh,
no. I mean, all of them.
Oh, wow.
And we had to change how we identify Opera to actually work on them. And this has been a moving target for us, but I think we settled on one that works now, and we'll stay there.
That's great.
But the great thing is that more and more designers are actually finding out that Opera is there and making use of the Opera features, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you would characterize this the same way, but Microsoft may be falling asleep at the browser wheel. I mean, they've taken years and years to come out with, well, they're thinking about the whole Longhorn and different things, and the browser's not been updated for a while. Are you taking advantage of that? Are you kind of relieved, or do you think they're gearing up to be very competitive soon?
Well, I mean, what Microsoft is up to, it's in some ways difficult to say, but definitely there's been no major changes in IE for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are doing is we're making sure there are at least changes on the web that people are getting better functionality.
You know, that's what needs to happen out there. Somebody needs to make these updates and make these improvements to the browsing experience, and you guys are doing a great job of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I know that Opera is very, very popular over in Europe, and give us sort of a rundown of where you are in the hierarchy of browsers as far as Europe, maybe in America, Asia. Number one, number two, number three?
Well, I don't think we're number one in any of the markets. That's Microsoft. But in a way, I think we might just, in Europe, starting to be number two.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
that's
terrific.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Who would you say is number three?
Well, I mean, that's Netscape, the Netscape-Mozilla combination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's the adoption rate here in America, do you think?
I think, in a way, we still have some way to go in the U.S. We expect to be somewhere around the 1% mark, which we're not too happy with. The U.S. distribution-wise is a little more difficult than Europe. Because in Europe, you can actually get onto CDs on magazines and the like.
Oh, okay.
In the U.S., not too many magazines are including CDs. Well, I don't think as, I mean, most computer magazines in Europe are including CDs.
Oh, they are. Okay. Only one thing that I've noticed over the last year or so, you guys have really been getting a lot more exposure here in the States. I mean, I hear your guys' name more in the news now than what I heard in the past. So I think that you're getting a lot of visibility here in the United States. I guess it's a matter of getting people to convert and try your browser, I guess.
my impression is that we are getting more exposure in the U.S., and we will be working very hard to increase that exposure.
Mm-hmm.
We are setting down plans and seeing whatever we can do. There's a lot of people that want to help us. I mean, the community around opera is very strong.
Yeah, I would
and,
think so.
And people are rooting for opera, which is great. And we're also, as a company, we're growing. We are adding employees, so we will definitely be working very hard to become more visible in the U.S.
We're having a conversation with Jan von Techner of Opera Software. More with Jan in just a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1562. That's 800-505-1562. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1562.
You're back with Web Talk at WebTalkRadio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is in here.
And joining us on the phone is Jan von Techner. He's in the middle of telling us all about the new Opera software upgrade.
So how have things changed for you guys since you went public back in March? I mean, are you guys growing a lot faster now? Or what's happening?
Well, what has been happening this year is that throughout the year, we've been adding employees.
Mm-hmm.
So that started before going public. So we added some 30 people to the company so far.
Great. Well, what folks are you actually adding? Are they software people, or that are building new products, or are you guys just adding people to build out the actual the products that you have?
I mean, we are focusing a lot on just improving the products that we have and making it available to more platforms and customers. The biggest changes are in the development where we are adding the most people.
Now, last year you announced, and you were actually on our show, the small screen rendering mobile browser, because you're more than just on the desktop, you're mobile. So why don't you give us an update on that and the adoption rate and how people are enjoying the mobile version?
A lot of people are saying that this is changing things, and I think it is changing things. But what is happening is that people are now able to access the normal internet on their mobile phones and in a way that is pleasant. That you don't have to scroll horizontally and you get access to the same information. There is more and more interest in this from the public, but also from operators, from mobile vendors. So I think in a way people can start to expect that they will be seeing the mobile internet on more and more mobile phones and things are happening, really happening. As an example, we were just launched on our first phone in Japan recently.
Oh.
There was huge interest in it, and people were standing in line to buy the phone.
Fantastic.
That's great.
And it was sold out in basically hours.
So is that a Symbian-based phone?
No.
No?
It's a Kyocera phone, and it's, it's based on Micro iTron, the operating system.
Oh, really? Okay.
We have been working a lot with Symbian, and Symbian is very important to us, but we are also making Opera available on other operating systems. Like Microtron, like Linux, and the list is extending. So expect Opera on a phone close by soon.
Yeah. Well, the fact that even just the desktop version is so small, 3.5 megabytes, right?
Yeah, that's tiny.
That obviously, and you need a small one for a telephone, and it's just, like you said before, fast and light and full of features.
Yeah. Well, plus, didn't you guys also just come out with a what they call a, I guess what you guys are calling a mobile accelerator functionality?
Yeah.
I guess as part of the browser for smartphones.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about that and how it works?
Well, basically, what it does is that one important point, just an addition. Actually, you are getting the same browser on the mobile phone as on the desktop.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that is very key to what we are doing. We're not putting some light thing into the mobile phone. You're getting a full web browser.
Wow.
So in a way, when you're testing small screen rendering in the desktop version, you can expect it to look fairly much the same on the mobile phone.
Okay.
Wow. Anyway, back to the mobile accelerator. What this is about is that we are looking at the content of pages and we are reducing the size that is actually transferred. I mean, typically what the problem is that you're browsing, but the actual phone lines aren't really that fast, at least if you're not doing 3G, and most are not. So you'll find that basically mobile browsing in many ways is great, but it could be a little bit faster. What we are doing with the mobile accelerator, we are compressing the content.
Okay, that's great.
So you're getting the same content. We're just compressing it, sometimes reducing the amount of colors and things like anything that can be done that you're not losing any quality, but you're just getting it down faster. And you'll see a speed increase of 2 to 4 times. That's definitely worth having.
Wow. So do you see the whole browser on the mobile phone being the area that you guys are going to see the most growth as you look out in the future? I mean, is that your guys' real opportunity?
Well, I see opportunities in a lot of markets. Mm-hmm. The desktop is going to continue to be very important to us. I mean, we want to be visible in the market, and it is a way to both earn revenue and be visible. The mobile market is the hottest thing at the moment. I mean, a lot of things are happening, and there are 500 million phones being sold every year. And my expectation is that in a few years' time, all of those will be shipping a browser.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would think so, too. I mean, it seems like that the power of the PC is moving to the mobile phone more and more all the time, and it's only going to continue, which is going to give you an opportunity, I would think.
Yeah. But in addition to this, I mean, we are seeing that it makes a lot of sense to use web technology for so many things. Everything ranging from digital television and set-top boxes to any kind of vertical use. I think basically if you have a screen and you want to show and update information on it, you should be considering using web technologies. There are so many great tools out there to make the content, and then you can easily put Opera in the system. And what we're finding is that this is a message that's going through that people are saying, okay, I can save a lot of money by doing this, because you can make more powerful, you can update it easier. And like on digital television, you don't have to update the actual binaries on the boxes, but you just update some pages. So it makes the most of all the knowledge and all of the people that have made the billions of web pages that are out there.
So are you guys looking at doing any kind of like media center type products at all?
I mean, like, we're not doing those kind of products ourselves, but we are involved in that kind of product.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Tell us
something that has been announced so far, but in a way, that's the kind of products we're working towards as well.
Oh, terrific. Now, are you guys ever going to get involved in like server software or anything like that? I've heard some talk about, you know, that's something, the direction that you guys might head down.
We don't have very much plans in that direction. We want to focus on being a client-side software company doing internet software. Now, at the same time, the mobile accelerator is a server product.
Oh, okay.
In a way.
Sure. Okay. Well,
so in a way, we although we don't have any intention to become a server company, we have made this addition, which is basically addition to a proxy server, which is the mobile accelerator, and we may well do a couple of more of things like that. But but that's in a way things that are supposed to work with a client.
We
don't have any plans to start making servers in general. I think you'll find that the quality of the services out there, I mean, like Apache, they're great. I don't think we want to compete with that. And so what we will do is maybe build on it and make some extensions when necessary to improve the client-side product.
Jan, we only have a minute left, but it does bear repeating that Opera has been named by PC World as the best web browser in 2004. And I mean the best. That's better than Netscape, better than IE. So why don't you tell anybody that's really intrigued by that idea who haven't tried Opera how they can get it? It costs, if any, all the details.
You can go and get Opera at opera.com, and you can download a free version which has some advertising in it, not pop-ups. We don't do those. but a little bit of ads, preferably from Google, which are not so obtrusive and fairly nice to use. You can then decide to pay to get rid of the ads fee of $39. Now, what you're getting there is that you're getting faster internet access. You're getting faster usage, and you'll find that most people report that they experience faster download, but in general, I think just about everyone experiences faster usage. And that is so many things. It's anything ranging from being able to work with multiple windows at the same time, mouse gestures, keyboard shortcuts, and basically being the most customizable browser in the world.
Yeah, that's great. Jan, thank you for joining us again. It was great to speak with you.
Likewise.
And certainly, you know, we're going to be rooting for you out there and talking about the Opera browser from here on. There's no question about that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jan.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to a conversation with Jan von Tetschner, the CEO of Oslo, Norway-based Opera Software, about the new upgrade to the Opera browser, 7.51. That's it for our show this week. Thanks so much for listening. Hope you learned something. We like to do what we can to make your lives a little easier on the web.
Yeah, and thank you for letting us into your ears every week. And if you want to see what's in our archives, you can go to our website at webtalkradio.com. We'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.